Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Diana Shemo, the founder of the Investigative Film Festival. It's the inaugural year this year, and Diana is joining us here to talk to us before the event kicks off tonight at the National Portrait Gallery. Diana, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really lovely to be here, Jason.
Now, so many of us, especially here at TOP and beyond, and even non-journalists, love, you know, All the President's Men, those kind of style movies. So how did you guys get the idea to kick off an entire festival that's similar to that idea?
Well, actually, we started with this idea a year and a half ago, and our thought was, you know, investigative reporting is so important and so crucial, and it was really facing a hard time kind of getting people's attention, and we felt like it was kind of beleaguered in a sense, and that most people didn't understand even, you know, what investigative reporters did. So, you know, we thought, well, film is like a fun way to kind of engage people, and the more we started looking into films and investigative reporting and sort of the nexus between the two, we realized actually we were sort of stumbling into something very timely, because there's been a real explosion of creativity at the crossroads where investigative reporters are more and more sort of migrating their best stories onto multiple platforms, often straight to a visual storytelling mode. And the filmmakers themselves are sort of drifting and, you know, working in territory that traditionally was associated with investigative journalism. If you look at a film like Grim Sleeper, it seems to me the Tales of the Grim Sleeper, I mean, by Nick Broomfield, it's very sort of investigative piece. He embeds in a community for a year and a half and tells a story that, you know, traditional journalism missed. So we just thought there was just such an amazing kind of crop of great films and stories to be told, and nobody else was doing it, so we did.
Exactly. No, it's a great idea. And just before, I want to get into, some of the films too, but before we do that, just more broadly and generally, talk about the sort of the power of movies to take people into some of these investigations and stories that maybe, you know, maybe there's some young folks that wouldn't pick up the newspaper to read about it, but they,
exactly.
you might get them in the theater. Just tell me sort of the power of why movies are just a unique avenue.
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about movies, whether documentary or narrative film, is that they're not only broadening the audience for investigative journalism and work done by investigative reporters, they're also sort of reaching them, they're touching them in ways and in places that is very hard to achieve in print. And that goes even further if you start looking into things like virtual reality, where it's, you know, you're immersing a person in the experience and suddenly they can feel something of what it's like to be in a Syrian refugee camp, for example, or on a breadline. So the power of film is really such that it kind of comes at you like directly in a way that, it kind of relates to you on a more emotional level in some ways, but at the same time, it can engage your brain as well. So you can really understand very complex stories through film. And as you say, you know, you can reach people with a really well-done film. You can reach people who would never think to pick up a newspaper to read about, you know, for example, the human cost and the environmental cost of fast fashion. You know, you probably, you know, would find most teenagers would not pick up a newspaper or look online to read that story. But when they see a film like The True Cost, they're not leaving the room. They're sitting tight for it because it really touches them and they start seeing connections that hadn't occurred to them before.
Absolutely. Let's go into some of them now, if you don't mind. Let's start with Spotlight, which you guys chose for the opening night kickoff at the National Portrait Gallery. I know you have a lot of guests, big-name guests, slated to come tonight, like Ben Bradley Jr., David Simon, some others. Talk about why you guys chose this one and what the movie's about.
Well, this movie is really very special. You know, we sort of chose it sight unseen because when I had heard about this movie being made just when we were getting rolling with this project, and I was like, my dream would be to have Spotlight for the opening night film. And, you know, it's really amazing to me that it's actually happening and that the film is terrific. You know, the film has played already in the festival circuit and the critics are saying that it's essentially like an All the President's Men for our times. So there's a whole generation of great investigative reporters, you know, who kind of came to investigative reporting because of that movie and because of the Watergate story. You know, they believe deeply in the power of truth to right wrong, and that was, you know, that galvanized a generation. So we hope that this kind of film, even though it's, you know, it's not a documentary, it's a drama about the investigative process, will kind of demystify what it is for people. And the thing I love about Spotlight is this movie is, you know, it kind of it's in the long tradition, the beautiful tradition of journalism, which is goes back to like Ernie Pyle and, you know, the role of the journalist being to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. This is a movie that is really about how a news organization can take on entrenched institutions to right wrongs.
Yes, and in case some of our listeners aren't aware of what it's about, you know, we have Rachel McAdams, Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, a bunch of big names playing Boston Globe journalists who uncovered, you know, the child abuse scandal of the Catholic Church. Did you guys intentionally kind of time it after Pope Francis, who I know, I know he spoke to a lot of the victims, and it's nice to see, you know, the church starting to try to, you know, try to amend some of that stuff. But did you guys factor that into making this the opening night, or?
No, actually, you know, we chose this for opening night way back in June with no real kind of awareness of what the Pope's schedule was. It never occurred to us that he would be in town, nor did it occur to us that there might be a government shutdown that week. So we're relieved to hear that's not happening, but all of these things sort of, you know, have been in the category of roll with the punches, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into some of the other movies. How about Drone?
So Drone is a great movie. It's really looking at the rise of warfare by joystick, and how the Air Force kind of recruits young men, and women, goes to gaming conventions, and how, you know, the process of waging war in this age is so kind of counter to what we've always known, and it kind of looks at the psychological difficulties of that and the consequences of it. So this film kind of, you have one of the protagonists, it's a documentary, so it's not fiction, and one of the protagonists is a guy who, you know, didn't realize quite what he was getting into and couldn't get out once he was in, and he personally has pushed the button and knows that he caused more than 1,600 deaths.
Man.
And he has a very hard time living with that because it's not like when you're in war where you're part of a community and you're facing an enemy and you kind of, it's, you know, you against them, and, you know, this is a little bit, you know, unusual, right? I mean, you're killing somebody in the afternoon, you're going home for dinner, and
right.
It's a very, like, it's a real disconnect. And the movie kind of connects that experience with the people on the ground where these bombs are landing, and, you know, talking to people in the villages about how do they live with that and what is it like. So it's a very intimate portrait of something that is by definition remote.
Absolutely. It's remote. You're not standing there, you know, reloading your musket, defending your hometown and village, you know. It's you're hitting a button and killing a lot of people far
right.
away.
So. Yeah, I mean, and you could, you know, there's arguments on both sides. I mean, I actually wrote a book on the Air Force Academy and, you know, have talked to people who do this. And, you know, there is a very strong argument to be made that, gee, it's better to wage war this way and not risk losing American lives. You know, that's a strong argument. But it's an interesting discussion, and this film kind of looks at it from a more intimate angle than a sort of policy perspective.
Right, sort of the lesser of two evils in terms of boots on the ground and a lot of people dying that way. So yeah, it's a topic that's very much up for debate. So it sounds like an interesting film.
Yeah, and then we have, let me see, what are some of our
talk us about Cartel Land.
Okay, well, Cartel Land is actually it's an amazing film. It's the kind of movie you walk away from and you're like, what just happened? You know, like, so Cartel Land is about two vigilante squads that emerge on both sides of the Mexican border, one in the state of Michoacan and one in Arizona. The one in Arizona is a guy who essentially is against people coming across the border illegally and, you know, decides that he's going to take on this problem because the government isn't doing enough. But he very quickly comes to think that these people are victims themselves and that the real problem is the smugglers and the traffickers. So he kind of faces off against them. And then on the other side of the border is a doctor who decides that the drug cartel in his state is, they're called the Knights Templar, is choking the state of Michoacan. And he goes around and he takes them on. And it's a very kind of devastating film about what happens to these two people who try to take on evil on both sides of the border. I don't want to give any spoilers because it's just such an amazing movie. And it's one of these things that you kind of watch it and you say, like, how did he make that movie? Because the filmmaker is really, he's recording and seeing and filming things that, you know, he's at risk. There's, you know, bullets flying, and there's very intimate conversations going on, deeply intimate conversations that he's recording, and you're just like, wow, how did he kind of get trust so deep that people allowed him to do this? And
how did he make this film? I saw it back during AFI Docs, and Matthew Heineman, the director, actually came into the studio, and we talked to him about it. He said he actually feared for his life. He had to kind of duck and cover. You'll see it in the movie, but
yeah,
he's ducking and covering as bullets are flying,
and amazingly
has the wherewithal to keep the, you know, to find focus and keep the camera.
I know, that's amazing.
Another very timely topic with all the immigration debate and everything as well.
Right. And then another movie that we have, there's another one that is really kind of super interesting, I think, is Deep Web, which is all about the Silk Road.
Deep Web.
It's about the Silk Road and about this man who was arrested for being a figure called the Dread Pirate Roberts. The Deep Web is sort of, you know, the internet that you don't see on the surface. It's, you know, it's everything that sort of happens, like illegal commerce or, you know, all kinds of things that can happen, you know, just not through your regular Google search, but kind of at a lower level where everything is encrypted. And so this is about sort of the government's effort to kind of control commerce and specifically drug trafficking through the Silk Road. And they target this fellow who is, they believe he's the architect of this Silk Road operation. But it appears, and you come to think in the film, that this figure is actually an identity assumed by many people, and he is one of many, so that he may have had some part in it, but it seems unlikely that he would be the only one there, or the one that's responsible for the part that the government is upset about. And the other film I wanted to mention also that's really that's going to be actually premiering in D.C. and is very controversial is a film called Terror. The T is in parentheses. Mm-hmm. It's by David Felix Sutcliffe. He's a co-director, and he will be here for a discussion with Eric Lichtblau from the New York Times after the film. And this is a film that is about a guy. His name is Saeed Sharif Torres, who is a confidential FBI informant. Now, he became an informant because he was busted for being part of the Black Panthers in the early 1970s. And rather than go to prison, he agreed to become an informant. So he was fine with it for many years. But then after 9/11, his job changed. Suddenly, he's responsible for infiltrating mosques and essentially mounting sting operations against, you know, Americans or anybody actually in the mosque who, the FBI thinks might be a risk for committing some sort of a terrorist act. And so, you know, there's a lot of discussion about whether this is, you know, entrapment or whether the person would actually have done it. What's interesting is that Torres himself is very conflicted about what he's doing. And as he heads out on this mission, he's very bitter. He kind of comes to think that he's actually been in prison these last 45 years, that he almost would have been better going to prison serving his time, and he's had it. He says, this is my last operation. And wow, he allows the filmmakers to film this without telling his FBI handlers.
Wow. So
powerful. They don't even know that this whole operation that they're doing with him is being filmed and recorded.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great film. And we're closing with that on Friday evening.
Oh, so that's
at 8:30.
That's the closeout. Okay.
Yeah, and everything is at the National Portrait Gallery.
Awesome. The ones that we've sort of highlighted so far, I mean, they sound really awesome. They're also really heavy topics. There's a lighter
there
one,
are,
too, right?
You
there's
know,
true, the true co- tell me about the true cost.
The true cost is fun, actually, yeah. So I'll tell you quickly that we have one other sort of, you know, gloom and doom film, which is The Storm Makers, and that's about human trafficking from Cambodia. And that's playing, I think that's Friday afternoon at 3. So now the fun one, I think, is, well, not fun, I'm not sure. None of these are so much fun except maybe Spotlight. But The True Cost is really... actually, even Spotlight. Scratch that. Spotlight is more of a thriller.
Right.
And it's very serious, actually. But The True Cost is really about the high cost of cheap clothes, in a way. So it looks at, you know, the whole trend we have toward fast fashion where, you know, if somebody takes a picture of you on social media wearing a dress, you know, next party, you're not going to be able to wear that dress. So you need a dress that's like cost $20 and you can just throw it away or, you know, save it and buy another. So it's, you know, but there is a cost to being able to buy that dress for $20. And so this film is like looking at what is the human cost of that and what is the environmental cost of that? And it kind of goes around the world. And what's really wonderful about this is it looks at the consumers in the United States. It's a very like stylishly done film. Mm-hmm. And fun to watch. Not fun, but interesting to watch, like right. Engrossing. And, you know, it connects the people who are buying the clothes and the people who are making the clothes in a way that you don't really see ever on film. And it also finds people like the designer Stella Paul McCartney's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Stella McCartney. Who are trying to sort of make clothes that are not exploiting the people who are making them. And so it not just sort of points out the problem, but it also opens the door to another way to do it that is less exploitative. But it is an interesting discussion to have, even, you know, aside from the film itself. It's an interesting discussion to have, you know, do you have a right to affordable clothes? And what kind of choices do you make as a consumer? And, you know, mm-hmm. What choice would you make? I mean, would you rather be in a world where you have to pay $50 for a good T-shirt or $30 rather than $5?
Right.
You know, that's part of it. So, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, Lowell Bergman, who's going to be kicking off our symposium on Thursday morning, and I have been exchanging emails, and he said something that I really loved, which was, you know, investigative reporting by its nature is radical. It aims to get at the root of things.
Right.
And that's sort of, whenever you go beyond the surface, you're going to have an interesting discussion. And that's what we're hoping to do with this, is spur interesting discussions.
Absolutely. And tell me about the venues. We've mentioned the National Portrait Gallery, but don't you also have things at the Museum and the Woolly Mammoth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the films are all at the National Portrait Gallery, we have one film at the museum. But we're also doing a concurrent symposium, and that's really for people who want to have discussions that are not sort of tethered to specific films, right? So if you're looking at Deep Web or Cartel, then you're going to be talking about the issues raised in those films. But this is like really for people who want to have discussions about journalism and investigative reporting and visual storytelling, like what's happening there, what does it mean, what are the trends, who's doing it. So we have an amazing all-star lineup. Those things are happening first on Thursday at the Woolly Mammoth Theater on D Street, and then at the Museum on Pennsylvania Avenue on Friday. And we're having really if Spotlight is kicking off like with an all-star cast, this is also just like an amazing lineup of all-stars that we've got from the journalism world and from the film world that are participating. You know, people like Alex Gibney, I mentioned Lowell Bergman earlier, Brian Knappenberger, Matt Heineman will be here, David Felix Sutcliffe, Johanna Hamilton, James Risen from the New York Times, Betty Metzger, who did the book on the burglary, which is about the burglary of FBI field office in 1971, which was also the subject of the film 1971 by Johanna Hamilton. So we've just got an amazing lineup of people, and we're connecting them with each other and also like with commissioning editors and funders. We have people here from The New Yorker, The Guardian, POV, Frontline, really all the people who are making important work in this field, or not all, but I think many, but many of the people doing the most important work in this field are going to be here for the next 2 days.
Awesome. Well, I know you're really busy, so we'll let you get back to work.
Wait, there's one thing I didn't tell you.
Sure.
The website. It's www.investigativefilmfestival.com.
Awesome.
And everything is there.
Yeah, and before we go, could you just tell our listeners in terms of sort of how they get tickets? Obviously, go on the website, but just generally here, what you know, how much it costs and all that.
Sure. Well, the tickets are $15 for an individual film screening. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of discounts available. If you look at the site, like for military, senior, student, etc. Actually, for students who are for classes, like if teachers want to bring a class, we're not charging them at all. We're
awesome.
Letting them come in for free. So if a teacher is hearing this and says, "Gee, I would love to take my kids to see," well, it might be too late for the True Cost because that's 11 o'clock tomorrow. But if she said, he or she says, I would love to take my kids to see the Storm Makers or Drone or something, then we'll let classes in for nothing. But people coming individually, it's $15. And a full pass for all of the film screenings, a film pass is $50. And a pass to the to all the symposium and the films, and the symposium is like 2 days of breakfast and lunch and happy hours and, you know, programming, and all of the films is $225.
Just so we're clear, for the teachers that can bring their class for free, do they have to show up with some kind of like teacher ID or something?
If they're surrounded by 30 kids, I'm going to believe them.
See, if you want to game the system, show up with a bunch of kids. No, I'm
exactly.
Nah, I'm kidding. All right, hey,
but
thanks so much.
It would be good for them to let us know. They don't have to, but it would be good. Like, if they just come, we're going to let them in for anything except opening night. But
right.
This is going to air tomorrow, so we're not going to worry.
Right. It should be easy to prove, actually.
Okay. Hey, or if there's a grown-up who's like, you know, crazy enough to show up with 30 kids that they don't have to be with.
They earned it.
They earned it. They're in.
Awesome. Well, Diana, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Good luck tonight. I'll see you out there at the opening, and then best of luck with the rest of it.
Thank you. I look so forward to seeing you tonight.